today on Real Radio.
You'll never see the guy again. What's the big deal? I mean, you're going to give him the gospel and he'll never see you. But your dad, your mom, your close friends, your relatives, it's tough. Well, yeah, Jack, but I bet you share and they accept the Lord. No, they do not. It's tough. You share the Lord with your relatives. You know, Jesus loves you. Yeah, that's great. I remember. What are you telling me for? I remember when you were crawling around in your diapers. Close friends. Hard to share with.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Holy Spirit Comes to the Gentiles, continues a series now called the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey begins in Jerusalem, but soon spreads to the Gentile world through Peter, John, and Philip, and through the miraculous conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who later, of course, becomes known as the Apostle Paul. Now, at the end of Acts chapter 9, we learned of the liberating miracles of God that were performed through the Apostle Peter. And as great as all God's miracles are, the greatest miracle of all is the miracle of salvation that God gives to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And in the first part of Acts chapter 10, we saw how Peter tears down the wall of his Jewish culture and tradition to both minister and to deliver the gospel message to the Gentiles. Today, Pastor Jack tells us in verse 23 through 33 of Acts chapter 10, we discover how we are no longer Jew or Gentile, but that all of us are one in Jesus Christ, and that the Holy Spirit has now come to all those who became born again through the teachings of Peter. And now in his lesson called The Holy Spirit Comes to the Gentiles, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This morning in our study, we will see the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of Gentiles, and probably for most of us this morning, that's where we're at. We're Gentiles. But what's really neat, if you're a Christian this morning, you're not a Gentile anymore. You've been brought into the Commonwealth of Israel, of God, and we have become His children. The Bible says that in Jesus, that there are no longer now any male or female, bond or slave, rich or poor, Gentile or Jew, but we've all become one in Jesus Christ. And it is our prayer this morning that that will be what happens to you today if you are not a Christian. I want to ask you something right now. Don't respond, but these two questions are very key to humanity. And when we go out on the streets at night, on Saturday evenings, or make a visitation in the house, these two questions are very, very present upon our minds. And how you respond this morning makes all the difference in this world and in the world to come. So listen up. If I lose you for the rest of the day, I don't want to lose you at this point. If you were to die today, do you know in your heart, without any doubt, that you would enter heaven? Second question, if you die today, why would Jesus let you in to His heaven? Do you have the peace? If you die today, if we said amen at the end of this message and you drove out here on the intersection and your number was up, literally, and you died, would you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you'd be entering into the kingdom of God safely, freely, and forgiven? If you don't have that rest and that hope this morning, then you need to make a decision today. And you need to listen to this message. And I'm going to ask anyone who might detect someone sleeping near them as we get into this to prod them, slap them in the Lord now, of course. Because really, like Cornelius this morning in our study, eternally, you, isn't this scary? You've got the choice to receive God or to reject God. And this morning, you cannot sit idle. Every one of you, by the end of this morning's message, will have made a decision for Jesus or not for Jesus. And that is the great question. Why don't you dive into your Bibles right now? We'll pick up in verse 23, where we left off last time. And we're going to look at three points to the message. And the first one, in your notes, you want to jot down that the Holy Spirit comes to the Gentiles by explanation or by teaching. And that will be in verses 23 to 33. It says there in verse 23, then he, that is Peter, invited them in and lodged them. And on the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together his relatives and his close friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. And then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, 'For what reason have you sent for me?' And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and in the ninth hour I prayed, and in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And he said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. And when he comes, he will speak to you.'" Now I said we'll go all the way to verses 48, but this is the first point right here. Verses 23 to 33, that the Holy Spirit will come to the house and to the life of Cornelius by explanation. And I want you to jump into this. Look in verse 23. It says, on the next day, Peter went away with them. That is, he's leaving his area where he was, and he makes this journey now south. And he goes down with his entourage. And we need to remember this, that next week in our study, Peter's going to get in a whole heap of interrogation, because the Jerusalem council is going to say, "What are you doing? Being a Jew talking to Gentiles, and we've heard that you've even gotten into their house." Well, Peter's going to have to give explanation on that. And so Peter, going down with some Gentiles, some Romans, he takes with him other men who were believers. That was a good move on his part. Verse 24, "And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for him." If you remember, Caesarea is this beautiful seaport village. It's like the Newport Beach. Climate was wonderful. You got the Mediterranean breezes, beautiful water, just a really great place. In fact, a lot of the Roman officials would have their summer homes there. And it was known for its climate. Beautiful place like Southern California. Boy, we got a surprise this week, didn't we? I saw the news. Forget what day it was, but as you know, it's been wonderfully. I say wonderfully. I go wonderfully cold. The men go, "Yes." The women go, "No." Love the cold. But turning on the news on, I think it was Thursday morning, and they showed Malibu, and it's got palm trees and sand and yachts and snow in the palm trees. And I thought, man, that's great. I love that kind of stuff. I should have, you know, been born somewhere in Nebraska, I guess. But it's known for its climate. So is Caesarea. Beautiful place. So here Peter gets the word, "Come down to Cornelius's house." And we studied that in depth last week. And so he's going. And it says there that Cornelius is waiting for him. And he called together his relatives and his close friends. This is wonderful. The word "waiting" in the Greek is that he's expecting. He's got expectations. Oh boy, Peter's coming. He's very fired up. He's excited because he's expecting to hear from God. Now, I don't know what kind of attitude you might have had this morning coming into church, but hopefully the worship and praise changes whatever negative attitude we might have to receive from the Word of God. Well, hey, Cornelius is there. Oh, man, he's coming. He's coming. Peter's coming. That's the way we ought to come to church, you know. Oh, well, I'm going. I'm here. I'm finding my seat. I'm here. You ought to come expecting God to move. I don't know, but in my life, my wife always kind of cracks me up. I get overly excited about things. I know that's hard for you to tell. And I'm kind of a weirdo. I have real high highs and real low lows, so you don't want to be around me on those low days. But that's why God's given me the wife that I have. She's able to pick me up on those low days. But the thing is, when there's something, you know, it doesn't matter. Oh, it's coming up. And I with the kids, check the calendar off. Now, I do. I'm terrible. I just, you know, and get all excited. And I have expectations. And she always tempers me. She says, "Now listen, if it doesn't come off the way you're expecting it to come off, you're going to be very disappointed." And I will. And I get crushed. But here's the deal. I enjoy having great expectations. I love living like that because when it starts to happen, I am sucking up every bit of it. I'm enjoying the whole ride. You know what I'm saying? I'm not waiting for something to happen. Even if something happens remotely in that direction, I'm excited. I love it, and I'm waiting for God to move. And that's the word that applies to Cornelius. He is in there. Peter's coming. We're going to hear from the word of God. And he's all excited. And I think it's precious. And so he is waiting, and he's got his relatives and his close friends. Isn't that great? Close friends, relatives. Two of the most difficult people in the world to share Jesus with. Isn't it true? You go down the street, you can tell anybody, any Joe going down the street, "Hey, bub, listen up. You'll never see the guy again. What's the big deal? I mean, you're going to give him the gospel and he'll never see you. But your dad, your mom, your close friends, your relatives, it's tough." "Well, yeah, Jack, but I bet you share and they accept the Lord." "No, they do not. It's tough. You share the Lord with your relatives. You know Jesus loves you." Yeah, that's great. I remember. "What are you telling me for? I remember when you were crawling around in your diapers." "Well, let's not talk about that right now. Let's talk about the Lord." And right when you get to the point, they say, "Oh, you know what?" And they, you know, it's hard to share with relatives. Close friends, they know you. I saw a guy a while back that I went, he was working out at a health club that I used to work out at before I was a Christian. And, hey, Jack, how are you? And he's, shh. Man, don't say it. I'm not like that anymore. It's like, man, I don't want to meet anybody I used to hang around. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't want to know it. Why? Close friends. Hard to share with. Cornelius has got them all together. "Hey, come here." He's got the house full of them. He's expecting to hear from God. Listen, last week he was very religious. He believed in God. He even gave money to God's work. He even served God, listen up, but he was not going to heaven. He was not born again. That's why God is bringing Peter down to meet him, to give him the word of God so he can be born again. Are you this morning religious? Are you a good man? Are you a good woman? Do you know this morning that you need Jesus Christ, that your goodness amounts to zero with God? And that hurts our flesh, doesn't it? "Well, you don't know how good I am." Well, I'm glad that you're good, but don't let it be a hindrance to you. Because you see, hell is filled with very, very good people. You can't go to heaven by being good. Jesus said so. He said you got to go to heaven by being perfect. That means sinless. "Well, hey, put a sock in it. You're not sinless. Fill up the pool. Let's see you walk across water. Then maybe we'll listen to you." You got to be sinless to get to heaven. You got to be perfect. So how do we get there? By being born again. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come inside you. You would be regenerated, is the word, regeneration, by the power of the Spirit. And you'd become a believer in Jesus Christ. And God would work in you. But the moment the Holy Spirit is dispatched into your heart by believing, you are stamped holy unto God, and you're pure. Even though not much on the outward part changes at first, God is working in your life. But I think being good or trying to be good enough is the greatest hindrance. You see, bad people who have broken the law, people who have been evil, you don't have to convince them. They know it. And yet Jesus says to one of the greatest men of all, "Unless you're born again, you will never see the kingdom of God," he said to that priest. Cornelius is a good man, but he's a good man going to hell. And he needs Jesus, and he's got that hunger in his heart that he needs to know more about his faith. And God's going to reach him. In verse 25, it says, "As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him." The word is, and worship is proskuneo. He began to worship him like he'd worship God. Verse 26, "But Peter gave him his ring that he might kiss it, and gave him his toe that he might kiss that." No, he didn't. He did not. What did Peter do? Being the great apostle and precious man that he is, he lifted him up. The word in the Greek means he seized him upward. "Get up! Get up!" He's embarrassed. "Get up! Stand up! I also am an anthropos. is the word he used. I'm a man-faced. I'm man-faced. Cornelius, get up. I'm a man. Look at me in the face. I'm just a man. Don't worship me. Don't bow down to me. Now, you think Cornelius is expecting something to happen? Peter walks in the door. Whoom! It's on his face. This guy's searching, man. He's hungry. He knows a little bit about God, but not enough. He knows inside that if he died today, he wouldn't go to heaven. He's searching. Peter seizes him and makes him stand up and says, listen, here, I'm an anthropos. I am a man-faced being. I'm not angelic. I'm not somebody important. Don't worship me. Let that be a reminder for us. Stand up. Verse 27, he says, and as he talked with him, that is, as Peter spoke with Cornelius, he went in and found many who had come together. And then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man. I have Jewish man circled in my Bible because you're going to see something really fall to pieces here in a moment. I, a Jewish man, Peter, you're a believer, man. You're not Jewish anymore. You're Christian. Your citizenship's in heaven. I, a Jewish man, do you know how unlawful it is for I, a Jewish man, to be in the home, to keep company with you, or to go with anyone from another nation? Yeah, Peter, we know how unlawful it is for you. Look at verse 29, middle of verse 28, but God has shown me, and that word but in the Greek is in contrast to what he has just spoken. Peter's having his concept shattered. Do you know what's unlawful for me to talk to you because you're a Gentile? But God has shown me he doesn't care about that anymore. And to an Orthodox Jew, this is radical. It's equivalent for us today to say, maybe for some, because we would be on the receiving end of this, let's say Donald Trump would walk in here today, and Donald Trump would say, do you realize how unlawful and how unrespectable and embarrassing it is for a man of my wealth and of my position to talk with any of you little guys? But God has shown me that we're all one together. And you go, wow, Donald, that's pretty awesome. Can I ride in your limo? And he'd say, sure, no problem. It's God's limo, and he's open. If somebody comes in, well, do you know how unlawful it is for me to associate with you because you're Hispanic, you're black, you're white? But God has shown the believer that it's okay. That's important. God breaks down all of those walls and all of those divisions and all of those standards that we put up. These social, well, how much do they make? Can they come into the club? We have to be careful about that. But Peter says, but God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And I have man circled in my Bible because last week in the vision, was it a man that Peter saw running around in the sheet? Remember the big sheet came down from heaven and he saw all of the animals running around? He didn't see men running around. He saw animals that were unclean, right? But he doesn't say, God has shown me that I'm not to call any animal unclean. The fisherman's catching on. He says a man. I'm not to call any man unclean. That word unclean means to be defiled or to be rejected or to be cast out. The word in the Greek is koinos. And it is the root word that we get the word koinonia, the great word that we enjoy, the fellowship. Koinonia is Christian fellowship. The word actually means social intercourse, to have interaction, very intimate and personal with a friend. It's the koinonia that God has with us when we speak to him. The very root word is the word that is defiled, but yet when God redeems, he makes it fellowship and closeness. And Peter is making that statement clear to Cornelius and all those that are hearing. And that's very precious. And so he says in verse 29, therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I ask then, for what reason have you sent me? Peter doesn't have a clue. Verse 30, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. Now, some of your Bible translations, unfortunately, some of the newer translations have deleted the word fasting, and that's unfortunate totally, because it is found in the oldest Greek manuscript, fasting. So why am I making the point? What's the big deal? Fasting. He's not only praying, he's fasting. 4 days, he has altered his diet. Why? It speaks of his urgency and his hunger to know God, to find more. Don't respond. Listen to this question. Are you searching in your heart right now? If you are a non-believer, that is, you do not have the assurance of heaven. Are you searching right now? Are you looking inside your heart and are you searching and thinking, is God out there? Can God be real? Can I know him? Are you searching this morning? Or maybe you're a believer. Like me this morning, I'm a believer, but I'm searching. I am searching for more of God. I want more of God in my life. I will not stand and I will not stay at this place where we're at in our growth. You know what I mean? You gotta have more. Is that in your heart this morning? If you're searching, like Cornelius is searching, God will fill you. God will meet you. The scripture tells us in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He's looking for you. But in Jeremiah 29:13, the Bible says there, God says, when you seek me and find me, you will do so when you search with me with all of your heart. Isn't that great? You got to be searching. You're not common. You're not unclean. Don't we have a good and awesome God who cares and who loves and is looking out after us? He's fasting, Cornelius is, verse 30, and he's praying until this hour, the ninth hour. That's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And by the way, it must have been at that very hour. I mean, Peter's talking to him, and he said, in this very hour. So it's we know that Peter meets up with him at 3 o'clock. He looks at his sundial on his watch, on his wrist, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's the time for prayer. Well, this is interesting. Listen to this. He says in verse 30 that he was praying in his house, and behold, a man stood before him in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer, not prayers like last week, now it's prayer, has been heard. That's very significant, people. This non-believer, he has uttered a prayer. It's made a difference. Listen, put your thinking caps on. While he was doing this, God was answering his prayer. What do you think his prayer was? Jesus, are you there? I want to know you. Can I have the peace of eternal life? That's the prayer he heard.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Holy Spirit Comes to the Gentiles. Thank you for listening. And whenever you don't know what to say about being born again through Christ, like Peter, just tell them what you already know. The Holy Spirit Comes to the Gentiles. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. During the time of the first church, there was a lot of confusion about Jesus being the Son of God, and many wondered how it is that the Son and the Father are one. Imagine how the apostles felt in the book of Acts as they preached that Jesus is God to a community that was bound by Old Testament law, culture, and traditions. But you know what? It's really no different today. That's why Pastor Jack offers a 2-page brochure called Is Jesus God? That you can download and print directly from our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, the brochure is full of scripture and the references from both the Old and New Testament, so be sure to make extra copies for your family and friends. By the way, it's going to make a great witnessing tool. Again, the link is called Is Jesus God? And it's right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.